Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and our New Littles Project is taking a big step forward. All this month, we're looking at the New Littles, ethnic communities around the city that you may not know about. We've already talked about Little Liberia on Staten Island, Little Uzbekistan in southern Brooklyn, whether the new Little Italy is in Astoria or Whitestone. Now we're calling on you artists and illustrators out there to get in on the project. Submit your illustrated neighborhood maps of New York City representing all of these lesser-known neighborhoods that we've been talking about. We've got a data set and all the information on our website that you can look at to help inform your map, and you can design one of your own. A list of the new littles and instructions for how to submit your illustration or map design is on our website. We'll feature our favorites on the air, online, and elsewhere once this is done. Check it out. Artists, illustrators, map designers. Do we have cartographers in the audience? Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. Well, the AARP is in damage control mode this week after the Wall Street Journal reported on Friday that its longtime lobbyist, John Roeder, now says the giant senior lobby is open to some kind of cuts in Social Security as necessary to the big picture of America's fiscal health. For example, on the crisis mode or damage control mode, Politico reported yesterday that AARP leaders called Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid to assure him that their position had not actually changed, saying in effect that the Journal had overreported the story. As it happens, a new book about the AARP, published just before this flap, says AARP had indeed already been open to limited changes to preserve the system. Let's put this in context with Frederick Lynch, professor of government at Claremont McKenna College, and author of One Nation Under AARP, The Fight Over Medicare, Social Security, and America's Future. Professor Lynch, thanks for coming on. Welcome to WNYC.
Great to be with you, Brian.
Give us some background on that line in your book. In its advocacy for seniors and for maximum Social Security benefits, how and how specifically had the AARP been opening the door to changes in Social Security?
Well, I think they're a big tent, big picture organization, and that's one reason I called the book One Nation Under AARP. They've been getting very outreach, very inclusive, multi-generational, and getting into very broad social change. They were one of the primary backers of the Affordable Care Act, and I think the question now, they're having kind of an identity crisis, I think, as a result of the Friday fumble, flap, whatever you want to call it. And that is, whose AARP is it anyway? What John Rother said on Friday, among other things, according to the Wall Street Journal, is that he's looking at the attitudes of younger people, younger generations towards Social Security, and they think they're not going to, you know, get any of this. So they're looking very much at the long-term sustainability of Social Security, and they're using a lot of phrasing about AARP is for everyone who has a birthday, and we're interested in all generations. And so I think there's a question of focus here. Are they for seniors? Are they for everybody who has a birthday? And in whose interest are they operating? And I think, by and large, it's been a very effective, very good organization. They practice a very pragmatic bipartisan politics, and they've had really remarkable luck with this. They have gotten prescription drug coverage for seniors, though there were some holes in that, and they single-handedly fought George W. Bush, that is, on trying to privatize Social Security. And again, they backed the Affordable Care Act, but I'm wondering whether this time it's different and you just don't give in to compromise, particularly as early in the game as was suggested on Friday.
So are you saying that if they're interested in multi-generational appeal, that it's a watering down of their advocacy for benefits and other rights of seniors because they don't want to be seen as engaging in a generational war and therefore turning off potential future members who are now younger adults?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. They're very, very sensitive about, you know, Alan Simpson and other people have called them the greedy geezer organization, that they're just, you know, lobbying for basically white, middle-class, older people, that they don't really represent the political interests of older people. Simpson has a zinger that he uses saying that, you know, basically AARP is 40 million people united by their love of airline discounts. And probably a little bit of truth to that. Some of the members of the board of directors that I interviewed, you know, sort of wryly admitted that that's probably true. But I think, yeah, they're trying to adjust politically. They're trying to give a little flexibility because John Rother I know rather well, and he's a very smart, very savvy guy. I think AARP also has developed a kind of a stewardship outlook towards the nation, which is very welcome, very admirable. We could use a lot more of that, you know, what is good for the nation. But I think in this fight they have to think, well, are we, you know, fighting for the interests of the nation as a whole, or do we really have to double down and protect seniors? As a matter of fact, they have a brand new sort of sub-website. It's aarp.org/protectseniors. That's just popped up in the last couple of weeks.
I've heard conservative talk show hosts rail against AARP as the American Association of Retired Liberal People and things like that, and actually urge their listeners not to belong to AARP, but rather alternative organizations that represent conservative seniors. I know you write about this in the book. Do you know about these alternative organizations and why the conservative talk show hosts are so anti-AARP, despite their attempts to be seen as bipartisan? Like, for example, their president, Bill Novelli, wrote the foreword to a Newt Gingrich book a few years ago, as you point out.
Yeah, the AARP is very concerned about their brand. Really, they've got two brands that are kind of battling one another. This gets also into the area of, are they an insurance company or are they a political advocate? A lot of people think of them as an insurance company. It's a really unique little model that they've got going there. It's both a profit and for-profit model in that they sell a lot of services to seniors, a lot of products, particularly insurance. And that really wasn't the original mission of the organization. It was founded by Ethel Percy Andrus years ago, a retired school teacher, and it was before Medicare. And she was very concerned about retired school teachers getting decent health insurance. So that was one of the original missions of what became AARP. So selling insurance, but the other side of the organization is nonprofit, and that includes political advocacy and a certain amount of charity work, free services for seniors, and so forth.
And in your opinion, after
hybrid model.
Right, and after doing all your research on AARP for this book, do you conclude that that's a hybrid model that results in an integrated whole or with two disparate parts that compete with each other?
Parts don't directly compete, except they compete in terms of their brands. The services side likes a bipartisan, non-controversial consumer trust brand. They sort of want to be the good housekeeping seal of approval for all their products. And that sort of means no political controversy. You know, stay out of controversy, stay out of any polarizing battles. On the other hand, as Bill Novelli called it, they have their warrior brand, which they brandish, they put on their armor and their sword, and they go into political battle. And that the brands compete with one another, and that really happened in their support of the Affordable Care Act.
Right, that's the Obama health reform.
Because they lost a lot of members. Officially, John Rother told me they lost 400,000. But I notice now their membership is 37 million. And in the book, I kept calling the 40 million member AARP because that's what the number of members they had when I wrote the book. But even so, even if they've lost some members, even if they've gotten some political polarization going, the smaller groups that you talk about, these conservative groups, have simply gone nowhere. If you go to their web page, sometimes they're inactive. They seem to get animated when a Medicare change or a Social Security change is coming up. The funding sources sometimes aren't clear. A couple of them are rumored to be, you know, heavily funded by the pharmaceutical industries. But nevertheless, they simply have not taken off, and AARP remains the 900-pound gorilla.
You did also
in terms of senior politics.
You did also write that liberals are also sometimes happy with AARP after they fought for the Obama health reforms and against President Bush's privatization of Social Security. Why are liberals unhappy with them?
Well, that goes back to the 2003 Medicare Modernization Act that included the prescription drugs. And AARP sort of left the hole there in that prescription drugs are sold by private insurers. And liberals wanted it to make it just a regular part of Medicare. And Bill Novelli's reasoning then, and I think it was quite good, said, you know, we got what we could get. It was before the 2004 election, and if George W. Bush was reelected, we were going to get nothing after 2004, and that, of course, he got reelected. So they sort of took half a loaf. The new Affordable Care Act is dealing with that. It's also dealing with the donut hole, that gap in coverage in prescription drug coverage. So again, John Rother says you can't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. And they do bargain. They do what they can. And last Friday's article sort of gives me the willies because I think AARP may be the major force out there, the only major force out there that can put the brakes on what seems to be a gathering coalition to really cut into Medicare and to really cut into Social Security. And I think one reason Rother may be offering compromise at this point is I think it's kind of lonely out there being the tribune of the people.
Frederick Lynch, professor of government at Claremont McKenna College and author of One Nation Under AARP, The Fight Over Medicare, Social Security, and America's Future. I like your book, by the way. It's a very big picture look, listeners, at the politics and culture of aging baby boomers. We've been talking about the AARP institutional aspects of this book, but it also is a big picture look at the politics and culture of aging baby boomers and walks the line between academic writing and deep journalism. So I like your book. Thank you for coming on and talking about it with us.
Great to be with you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up next, we'll follow the breaking news that China's Xinhua News Agency, the official Chinese government press agency, has just announced that the activist artist Ai Weiwei has been released, quote, on bail after being detained by the government since early April. We'll talk about that and also play a clip of the new presidential hopeful John Huntsman, who is a Republican but was President Obama's China ambassador, and a speech he gave that people are saying was much more straight talk about human rights in China than we usually hear from the U.S. government. Stay with us.